man Fidelito. Say hello to these people. It's Monday morning. What's happening, you fucking savages?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, you fucking savages. Mad Flavor here in full effect. I got the fucking goggles on. Welcome to the church of what's happening now, Monday morning, September fucking 3rd. What's happening, Lee?
It's unbelievable, man. No, I'm excited. Did you hear about the earthquake last night?
What fucking earthquake?
3.3 in Beverly Hills.
Come on.
No, it was big, and I work in Beverly Hills. The one night I'm out there a week, thank God.
But just in Beverly Hills it hit, that's it, nowhere else?
Well, that's where it's, that's like where the center of it was, and around there. But yeah, right in center of Beverly Hills, yeah.
Holy shit. See that, people, fucking earthquakes, I don't even know what the fuck's going on. And you know what? That's what it means to be part of the church of what's happening now. I don't give a fuck. I was driving. I was at a Mexican bar last night where they really killed fucking anybody. I'm lucky I got out of there alive. I went down there to do some benefit for some kid in a fucking wheelchair or some shit. I thought they were going to kill me. But anyway, I made it home alive. What's happening, Lee? Labor Day weekend. Nobody's got to go to work. We're right here with the church of what's happening now. Sparking. We got music. We got movies. We got everything. Sports today. We got everything. You know what I'm saying? Only there was no NFL. NFL's Thursday, correct?
I think the Giants and the Cowboys are playing Wednesday, maybe?
Yeah, that's like they're getting the fucking gambling started early. It's a bad motherfucking economy, so let's spark the holy smoke. This is White Debt from fucking Divine Wellness. I know you people are saying, Joey, what the fuck? They're supposed to close the weed stores this week. They ain't closing dick. What happened was, I guess they had to have an addendum of 25,000. They got 50,000 signatures, so they're pushing it back to fucking St. Gennaro's Day. And you know what? It didn't mean much to me because I knew they weren't going to close. And guys, look, a lot of you people are like, ah, you motherfuckers are out there selling weed illegally. Let me explain something to you. They voted in. Me, they wanted to have, like, people work on fucking their own grass or some shit. Like, you had to do your own growing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new thing. They're going to close the stores, I guess, and you got to grow your own weed. Hey, do I look like Dr. Green fucking thumb to you?
No one's going to do that.
I've never grown fucking dick in my life. I tried growing weed one time, and I smoked it before it hatched. I smoked it like when it was real small. I couldn't have it. It's like Christmas fucking day. I couldn't wait to smoke it, and I let it dry. And
the only thing that's going to do is bring back the drug dealers and make it worse. They're going to create more crime for them, and they can arrest more people.
Listen, who gives a fuck? They're still drug dealers no matter what. The problem is that, you know what? It's nice. We're already used to it. For me, I get weed no matter what. I don't give a fuck if you close them, let them open, light them on fire. It ain't going to stop Mr. Flavor. I've been smoking since 79. Flavor. Yeah, Flavor ain't going to stop now because you closed the stores. And neither are a lot of people.
Now, let me ask you this. I smoke a little bit, but in California, since it's legal, are there still weed dealers? I mean, I know there's dealing other stuff, but do you think there's weed dealers still?
Yeah. Some people don't want to get a license. Some people don't want that. It pays to smoke the best. Fuck the lung. Fuck the lung. When you're smoking good reefer, fuck. And I have the vaporizer. I'm trying to keep it healthy lately. But for you guys in the morning, I smoke a bone because, hey, we're all smoking a bone. Not everybody has a vaporizer. I'm going to sit here like fucking Thurston Howell III. You know, oh my God, I'm so, fuck you. We're all together on this one. So if I get the fucking cancer from the paper, you get the fucking cancer from the paper.
Yeah.
College football on last night. I seen that.
Yeah, my Miami won, right? They're winning pretty big.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck they be, but who played last night?
I have no idea. I don't really follow college.
That's the church of what's happening. It's too confusing. It's every week and some people, but it's what it's all about. It's where the fucking money's at, man. A lot of people like college. I watch it.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the fuck's going on.
A lot of people like it better than pro, and they say it like the players are playing for more. I like watching professional. I like watching people who get paid
and college,
are the best.
The players play for white women. When you're black, that's who you're playing for. Those white little cheerleaders from fucking small towns. When you're a pro, you don't give a fuck. You got money. You get whatever color you want. Black, white, Chinese, a Filipino chick from the hospital.
From the hospital? Yeah, that's something I never got into, man. But I don't understand how there was something in LA a couple weeks ago, how the quarterback of USC was on a billboard promoting getting to sell tickets. But it was near UCLA and they got all upset. But I don't understand how colleges like this can make millions of dollars off of the players, and then they don't get paid, and that's why some players have to go and do other things on the side. And
yeah, they gotta suck dick and strip. Get the fuck out of here. They got envelopes like everybody else. It's these little rats that, you know, these little third bench guys that rat on the other guys. Let me tell you something. Would you play for free for a fucking education? Yeah, you know, most Americans would, but trust me, they got something else going down there for your ass.
No, yeah, they have
to. It ain't just about fucking free. They gotta give you something else. Listen, Come on down, play some ball. We'll give you a little fun. You ever watch a movie, One-on-One?
No, what's that?
It's an old movie with Robbie Benson about a small-time All-American that goes to a big fucking school, and it's like nothing. He sits at the end of the bench. Like, he was this big-time fucking kid, and all of a sudden they torture him. He's too short, but he has a job, fucking $50 an hour. The teacher would suck his dick. You know, he had perks, you know what I'm saying? And in those days, a teacher could suck a dick with a clean conscience.
Yeah.
Now a teacher sucks a dick, she's got to worry, she can't sleep at night, she got to toss and turn. These little faggots are going to rat her out.
Yeah, there was one in Texas that got caught having sex with like 5 students.
Listen, there was one when I was growing up in North Bergen that sucked everybody's dick. She's still anonymous. You know, now everybody's getting caught. All these kids go home and they fucking crack because she won't give them a game or whatever. In my day, you got your dick sucked in a bee and everybody was fucking happy, you know?
Yeah, that's
nobody fucking sense. Complained. These little fucking faggots today, they go home, "Mommy, the teacher sucked my dick." What the fuck is wrong with you? How are you going to cop to that shit?
Exactly.
You don't say a fucking word somebody sucks your dick. You just, but these fucking weaklings today, you know, what are you going to do? They're too busy. They got to get their dick sucked and get on the skateboard, you know what I'm saying?
What do you think, like, why is it such a huge difference between female teachers with guys and male teachers with girls? Like,
because a female can suck your dick when you're 12 and it ain't creepy. A guy could touch your titty and it's fucking creepy when they're 14. You can't do that shit. But listen, like I said, I grew up in a different time. There was never a fucking sexual deviant guy in my school, but there was some sexually deviant fucking teachers. I was an ugly guy, so the chick didn't want to suck my dick. You know, she didn't suck my dick. I'm not going to sit here and tell you she blew me. The teacher that was sucking dick in high school never sucked my dick. You know, she sucked other people's dick, but I was an ugly fuck, so she didn't bother me. But none of those kids till today, nobody knows about that teacher. That teacher's still fucking teaching and dancing and whatever. She's about 60 now. She ain't sucking no more dick. But back in the day, she was giving head in our school. And that's just the way it works out. That's it. What are you going to do, Lee? You know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing about I don't know nothing about no fucking billboards. Why are you talking to me about billboards and quarterbacks? This is the church of what's happening. I don't know nothing about this shit. All I know is who covered the fucking spread. That's all that you need to know about sports. That's it. Anything else is background fucking music. When I was a kid, I'd sit there for hours and watch basketball. And then as you get older, you get all this shit going on and you don't watch that much. Like, I don't watch that much baseball till October. I like baseball. But if you think I'm going to sit there all fucking summer long with a hat and a kazoo at my house doing the wave solo. And I went to a couple of Dodger games. They're a fucking blast. I might go to one. I go to Costco. I get 2 fucking tickets for $25. Like, yeah, they sell. And you get floor tickets and they give you a hot dog and a fucking soda.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I love baseball, but it just... You can't. You have to be there. Watching it on TV is murder.
Ah, you go to the game, you smoke a fucking number. I went a couple of weeks ago. Let me tell you something. Those hot dogs, they'll go right through your asshole. A hot dog until they... And they gave you, like, the first one. The first one, I took a bite of it. It tasted like tofu. Then my uncle goes, no. Don't eat those. You got to eat the fucking all-beef ones. The all-beef ones tasted worse than the other ones. Then they had a higher level, the black Angus ones. Let me tell you something. There was no Angus in that fucking hot dog. It was just black. I mean, the hot dog was even fucking gray.
Ugh.
So forget about eating. The only thing about Dodger Stadium is they have, like, a... They have other type of restaurants. Like, they have mean garlic fries. But you know what, man? You go to those things, you eat a hot dog. So I'm already fucking full. The games are at 7.
Yeah.
You know, what I did, my uncle's a fucking peanut guy. So he ate 92 fucking bags of peanuts, my uncle. You know, he's 76 from Cuba, old school. That motherfucker eats more peanuts. There was a... Ari Shafir is the only Jew that could eat a peanut like it's the end of the world. The UFC will get fucking stoned and he'll buy a bag of fucking those peanuts with the shells.
Yeah, I love those.
My uncle killed him. My uncle did 3 bags in fucking 9
Jesus
innings.
Jesus Christ.
I helped him. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he was a fucking solo artist, that he was, you know, he was Joe Perry when he left Aerosmith. Speaking of Aerosmith, you know what? I never broke down that album the full way and I feel bad. The album of the week this week, by the way, the Church of What's Happening Now is coming at you 2 times a fucking week. Monday early to get your week going nice, and Wednesday early in the midweek. Sometimes you fall behind, you forget to wipe your ass, it's fucking Wednesday, and also an Uncle Joey shows up and says, hey, it ain't that fucking bad of a day. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive, by the way. It's Monday. I love being home Monday mornings. If you have a good Monday morning, it makes the rest of the week go by early. People always say to me, oh, you don't work Sundays in comedy. You know why? Because I want to be in my bed fucking Sunday night, so Monday morning I wake up, play a little fucking... Tony Bennett, I Want to Be Around. Play a little Tony Bennett, I Want to Be Around. Every Monday when I was a kid, every day when I was a kid, I'd go to my mother's bar. And she'd open up the door, turn off the fucking alarm, and she'd go to the jukebox, turn on the fucking little game that you go back and forth. And on Mondays especially, she'd get a glass of water, put it on the table, and she'd play I Want to Be Around, because it was her and my father's song when they came from Cuba. You know, I don't know when Tony Bennett wrote the fucking thing, but she would play that first every day out of respect for my father.
It says it was the number 14 Billboard hit in 1963.
That's tremendous. Play the fucking song. Now you want to be Casey Kasem, cocksucker.
That's what it says on YouTube. All right.
63. That's the year I was born. I didn't know that it was in 63. So every time my mother would go to the fucking bar, she'd play this song first just to give a reference to my father. So every Monday mornings, what I do is I get up early, I make the coffee, I clean the fucking litter boxes, and I get on here and I play I Want to Be Around out of respect every fucking Monday morning, and I love it. Sometimes I do it during the week too, first thing. Lee, what are you looking for?
Nothing. It doesn't want to play. Give me a second. Keep talking.
You know, it's right there, Lee. It's two clicks away.
I'm clicked on it. It's just the video is not playing. Give me a second. Keep talking.
I thought you got the fucking U-verse.
I did.
Cocksucker is what I'm talking about. I gotta watch Lee. Even though he's Jewish, I love him to death, but I gotta watch him. We're bringing back the yarmulke, people. This week, we're gonna have it online. Fuck You Pay Me, the new yarmulke line from Uncle Joey. Tremendous. Nice little white yarmulke with Fuck You Pay Me. They know exactly where you're coming from. Because let me tell you what the thing about it is in life. You know, a lot of people are kind of half a phony because they want people to know or people to lure or they want people to think that they're nice motherfuckers or whatever. I'm how I am. I curse in front of people. I'm how I am because I want people to know where they're coming from. When you're friends with me, this is what the fuck you expect. This is why I'm like, here you go, beautiful song. I used to listen to this shit. This is the first song my mom played every morning. She died in 79. I mean, if I would have brought her back to the grave, it would have been easier for her to play this fucking song and find it. Took you an hour, Lee Coxon.
Somebody breaks your heart.
Somebody twice as smart as I.
It's a beautiful jam on a Monday morning, because that's what Monday's about, getting the week off. It's a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive, Lee. You got football this week, you got the day off, you go to a barbecue and grill at your buddy's house and scratch your fucking nuts all day. I think there's a Law and Order marathon, there may be not.
Oh, there's always Law and Order. I work nights, and that's the best part about working nights, is around 2 o'clock, TNT, TBS.
Two or three, but they cut them down. They've been replacing them with the fucking mentalists. They pissed me the fuck off lately, a little fidget guy with the fidget fucking girl. You know, I like the show. It's a good show, but Law and Order's a staple. Been around for 25 fucking years. You're going to change it up on me now.
Yeah.
2 o'clock sometimes, I come home, I'm running around all afternoon. I want to see Law and Order. I get up here, and there's no fucking Law and Order.
No, and that show was on for 20 years, and I can't believe they canceled it. And, I mean,
25 years, that's a lot of residual money right there, a lot of criminals.
Yeah, but then they tried Law & Order LA for a while, and that canceled.
It's not on?
I don't think so. It's
they
terrible.
Canceled it with LL Cool J and the other kids.
If they did, then they're about to.
Yeah, I don't know. Nah, Law & Order, you know, it's about fucking real stories. What's the one we were talking about last night? Wasn't it you we were talking about, Law & Order episode?
No.
Don't fuck with me, Lee. You're trying to put something out there and you're trying to change it up on me, cocksucker. Church of What's Happening Now, Monday morning. I'm happy you're fucking here. Last week we were talking about Aerosmith. You know, I was telling Lee, yes, I was telling Eddie Bravo last night that, you know, sometimes you have all your life to have a great first album.
Yeah.
Then your second album usually tells you what's going on. The reason why I like those older guys, especially Aerosmith, was their third album is a masterpiece, but so is the second album. Get Your Wings. Don't get us confused here. The first one was Dream On with Walking the Dog. You got one good song and the other one. The second one was Get Your Wings, which is a fucking masterpiece because they didn't come out fucking throwing heat right at it. There's a lot of slower ballads on there. Same old song and dances in a slow ballad. But you got Train Kept It Rolling, where they went from a studio version into a fucking live version. But Jesus Christ, fucking rocks. You know, throw me a song from Rocks, anything. Not Back in the Saddle, but there's got to be. You got Back in the Saddle, you got Nobody's Fault. Let's see
if they have the full album on there, maybe.
Yeah, they got the full album. Rocks.
Here we go, full album.
All right, you pressing Rocks.
There's Last Child, Rats in the Cellar, Combination, Sick as a Dog. Do you have one you want to start with?
Let's start with Nobody's Motherfucking Fault. Go to the 20-minute mark right there. All right. It's going to take a while to link up. I know that, but these motherfuckers...
No, I think I'm ready.
You do?
Let's see.
That's my main man. Lee's one of the baddest motherfuckers I've known. You know that? A lot of people always said yesterday to me, Lee's the... Let me tell you something about Lee. Lee got the ball going. Lee's the executive producer on fucking It's Either You or the Priest. Lee also helped me with the documentary, the Mad Flavor World, the mind of Lee. He's a crazy motherfucker. He wouldn't be doing this, he'd be doing fucking arson. He's that type of Jew. He'd be lighting buildings down to the fucking nub. That's how he rolls. Jewish lightning, motherfucker. We got to tape Beauty and the Beast today at 11 o'clock. Yeah. Not you. You'll be in bed by that time dreaming of fucking cheeseburgers.
Do you want to play the song?
What's that?
Can I play the song?
Play the fucking song. Absolutely, my little brother. What the fuck? Don't sit there. Let's warm it up. Where the cats? The cats are fucking sleeping. I don't know why, bro. These motherfuckers, they got to get it together. They really got to get it together. They disappear. Here you go. Kick it. I said dance.
They can't hear it.
Stickem.com/JoeyCocoDiaz. We're back. Ready for the fucking day today.
And for everyone who doesn't know, we made the Facebook page yesterday. Facebook.com/The Church of What's Happening Now. There's a Stickem app on it, so you can watch it straight on Facebook. Stickem also has a iPhone and a Droid app, so you can watch it on your phone if you're in the car. We're going to do this every week, two times a week, so bring us with you in the car, man.
See, I didn't know nothing about this. This is why fucking Lee's a savage, see? Me, I'm trying to make moves. I'm trying to figure out who's going to win next weekend. So I'm going to have some picks for you, hopefully, next weekend. It's tough the first fucking month of football. It's really tough. You got to find the gauge. I mean, you could gamble if you want, but whenever I give you something, it's to give you something so you can bang it to the fucking walls. You follow me? I don't want you out there fucking hanging out with one nut. You got two of those motherfuckers. Make them wiggle, cocksucker.
That's a new one. I've heard that one before.
Last night I was coming home and a buddy of mine called me who I haven't heard from. He's like, hey, man, we're having this fucking party at this strip club in downtown L.A. I'm like, downtown L.A.? I didn't even know there was a strip club.
Downtown's creepy and strip clubs are creepier.
Listen, bro, I've been in L.A. for 13 years, and I've been to two strip clubs. I'm not a strip club type of guy.
No.
I'm not like I've been to the La Cienega one because I had to pick up my ex there. It's funny. I should call my ex and have a call in. She called in last week. This is the same one I fucking pulled the Hershey wrapper out of her muffler.
Ugh.
She called in last week and told me that she was... maybe we should call her the fuck up and see what she's doing, that dirty bitch. Maybe she'll call in and talk about having arthritis in her wrist from giving out fucking hand jobs. Hysterical. That's what she told me last time I talked to her.
There's some women who don't mind talking about stuff like that.
No. She's the original. She's the last of the real motherfucking deals. But what were we talking about? Oh, and I was thinking about how, you know, why don't I go to fucking strip clubs ever? I never really go to strip clubs. And I don't like them. I feel uncomfortable in there. But the real reason was because I was like fucking 15. There was a bar in my hometown named the Meadowlands Inn. It was run by a bunch of fucking cops. And they had a couple broads that danced on there that weren't even hot broads. They were good-looking broads, but they were fucking animals. They were way beyond the animal mark. There was this one, her name was Tina. She was beautiful, long-legged. But the claim to fame of this bar was that they put a galley. She would sit on a Galliano bottle and go up and down a Galliano bottle. They would take Budweiser's and put them in their fucking monkey and drink with their pussies, take all the fluid out of the fucking Budweiser, and then splash them back in your face. Wednesday nights was erotic banana night, and fucking that. And you give them $2 at the door, and they'd fucking take two bananas and put them in their pussy and give you one, and you had to eat it in front of them. They'd peel the banana. And these chicks had been, they had had 1,000 dicks in them. Like they,
oh, yeah.
The whole fucking, all the apostles fucked them. I mean, these chicks were just dirty, filthy fucking animals, you know. But you don't know. When you're 15, you go down there. But I remember I was down there one Christmas Eve, and I seen some chick take an old man's teeth out of her fucking mouth and put them in a snatch and give them right back to the old guy. He loved it. He had, his glasses were all fogged up and shit. And this bar was really small. This place was like a, the bar was small, so the chick was right in front of you. So all she would do is throw her leg. You'd be drinking right here, and all of a sudden her leg would be right here. And they'd come over, you'd help them over, and they'd squat right in your fucking face like a savage for like $2. I mean, what type of woman lets you eat her pussy for $2? I mean, that's what you got to think about. But while you're there intoxicated, $2 seems like a bargain to eat some chick that's been passed around the fucking room. God knows what's in that fucking dirty snatch. But anyway, the church of what's happening now, let's keep it positive here. You know what I'm saying? Why talk about dirty fucking monkeys on a Monday? Remember, wash those nuts. You might bump into a hot chick at a fucking barbecue today. She needs to suck your dick. You don't want to have stinky fucking nuts. You want her to call again. You know what I'm saying? Leland in the fucking house here. What's today's date, Lee? September 3rd.
That's crazy, man.
What's crazy?
It's September 3rd already.
What do you expect? This day goes by. Where's that joint, Lee? You smoking by your fucking self, cocksucker?
Sorry, man, no.
You see me here all solo. I'm over here smoking like fucking John Lennon when he left the Beatles. You got me over here fucking doing my thing here. Yeah, I got to cut this motherfucker. I want to give a shout out to everybody from Twitter that's out there. My man, little fucking Leon Ali Boz, fucking Monkey Todd breaking my balls yesterday. I thought it was somebody else. Fucking Fisticuff Radio. I mean, come on now. Everybody's up watching fucking Stick'Em. That's why there's soldiers and shit.
Yeah. There's a chat going on Stick'Em, and someone just said that someone owns the churchofwhatshappeningnow.com already. Someone bought the website.
I don't give a fuck. You don't need the website to fucking own it. You know what I'm saying? I've been living under that genre of umbrella for 40 years. Yeah. I'm the original church of what's happening now. You can do whatever the fuck you want, own it, suck it, fuck it, lick it. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you were saying yesterday after I brought up Breaking Bad that some people said, watch Breaking Bad, he lives Breaking Bad. And then you told me a funny story about you dealing with someone like that.
No, in 1985, I left North Bergen, and I went to live with a fucking teacher that I knew from North Bergen named Mr. T. I still talk to him, by the way. It's two boys. And he took me to an AA meeting. He was an AA at the time. It was 85. I was fucked up. He goes, maybe you need to go to a fucking meeting. So I go to this meeting, and I'm sitting there. And at that time, it was 85, and I was a movie buff. I was always a big movie buff. Scarface was the movie.
Yeah.
And I remember I'm at this thing. I look at this fucking guy, and I go to him, did you see the movie Scarface? And he just looked at me, and he had, like, fucking missing teeth that were green. He goes, see the movie Scarface? I lived it. And he just turned his head. I understood not to mess with this fucking guy ever again because... what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? You gotta do something. I mean, you know some people who are real, and you know some people. This guy was real, and he was a white guy. I forget what his name was, Captain or something.
Captain,
because he was friends with Mr. T. That's the teacher I was down to. Mr. T's a good man. Mr. T kept me together in high school.
Yeah, you lived with him for a while, right?
I lived with Mr. T in 85. I graduated high school in 82, and I had lost contact with him in 83, 83 and a half. And then one afternoon, I was standing on a corner in North Bergen, 85, and he pulled over, 84.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me I looked like a fucking mess, that I had to get my life together. Look at you. You're a fucking savage, but you got to get it together. Da, 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 da. So I had the plan. I was going to take coke from this coke dealer,
mm-hmm.
not pay him back, and with that money start a new life in Creskill, New Jersey. Creskill's this high-grade fucking white community. It's a great community, man.
Oh, okay.
And it's real close to New York City. And that's where T owned the house, so that was my plan. So it was funny that T picked me up that morning, New Year's Day, 1985, at like 8 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, I did coke all night. I had like $1,600. My plan was to take a plane to Arizona to see a buddy of mine, Gerard Bazzacco, who was a study chiropractor. He was studying to be a doctor at ASU.
Okay.
That was my plan. But that plan got changed like two nights before that. Mr. T said, if you want to come over here and get your life together for a few weeks. He had two little baby boys at the time. And he goes, come on over and I'll have somebody to hang out with. So the whole time, I think I stayed there for like 2 months. I didn't drink at all. I didn't do blow. I just smoked pot. He didn't know it. He knew it. But I had a job at a liquor store at a place called Creskill fucking Liquors. And brother, they had one of those old registers.
Oh, really? Like one of the button ones?
One of the button ones where, let's say, you came in and got something for $11.50.
Uh-huh.
I would just press 50 cents in and keep the $11.
Jesus.
So, I mean, I was just robbing these guys. I mean, this is when I had no responsibility and I thought I was slick and a cute guy that I was getting over on people. You know, you always pay for everything. But anyway, that's a different fucking story. The funny thing was that I stayed there for a while, and the guy fired me. He eventually caught on that I was robbing him blind at Creskill Liquors, and I moved to Tenafly. Then I got arrested in Tenafly for possession of whatever, and then I finally got the balls to move to Colorado. But it was funny because one time T said to me, "Listen, man, I tried to give you a life. We're done. Don't come back here unless you drive back in a fucking Cadillac." He goes, "Wow. Don't talk to me unless you come back in a fucking Cadillac." So I said, "Fine." And I think by 95, I called him back. Well, no. Once I got basketball, like in 98, I had the balls to call him back and tell him, "Hey, I got my life together." And I still was doing powder and shit, but I called him and I met him in Jersey at a comedy club called Rascals. And we've reconnected. We talk once or twice a week. And he's in Sarasota, and I'd like to go back to Sarasota, Florida, and see him. But there's a club there called McCurvy's. So if anybody lives in that Florida area, Sarasota, please start calling McCurdy's. Tell them I want to come down there and rock the house. Plus, I lived in fucking Sarasota in 82. I went there on the lam.
Yeah, you said after you robbed the jewelry store.
I went to Sarasota. And at that time, Sarasota was where boredom was fucking invented. You understand me? I mean, it was fucking boring. There was one movie theater and the Road Warrior was playing. The Road Warrior and Rambo, the first one.
Oh, wow. And good movies.
And I would go every day to watch either one of them or both of them. That's what I do every day. I go to Barrio Nietzsche, which is a black neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and I get weed, me and Gary Hartman, and then from there we'd fucking shoot to the movie theater. I was living with Gary. His mother was fucking cooking for him. I mean, it was a crazy month and a half, but what are you going to do? The church of what's happening now, bitch. Number four, calm as a motherfucker. You're always going to pay for it. Remember, you're not, nothing is free. You're always going to get a fucking receipt. So if you do something in 83, they might cash it back in 2012. Look at, my wife is pregnant. Here I thought for years the feds were going to kick the door down for something I had done. Somebody did whisper in my ear, my wife, she's like, "Guess what? You knocked me up, chubby." I don't even know where the fuck she's at. She's still sleeping. When I woke up at 5, she was wide awake.
Oh, wow, yeah.
She was on the couch watching fucking Discovery Channel, something about guns or some shit.
Yeah, you know. TV that late gets creepy. It's weird.
Well, last night we were at a friend's house for dinner, and she was almost falling asleep because the History Channel was on. And when she got in the car, I go, "Jesus Christ, we started talking, you woke right the fuck up." And she goes, "Well, when we got in the car, she goes, think about it. If you want to go to sleep, just put the Discovery Channel on, the History Channel."
Yeah.
They got boring shit on late night. I don't look at it that way. I like it. I like it. But she'll fall asleep to the History Channel.
That's
all these motherfuckers. Don't forget, for all your little fucking cat treats, these are right here. Temptations. This is the dairy flavor. These motherfuckers go crazy. Except now, I don't know where they are. See, when Terry's fucking sleeping, these cats don't come out, dog. They're mama's cats. So right now, they're trying to work it out. Look, one cat came out. That's my girl, Gray. Come here, Gray. Say hello, cocksucker.
Gray learned from yesterday.
Oh, there's Harry Warren. Come on. Say hello.
Oh, people are asking for Skinny Finny. Where is he?
Skinny Finny, you hear him? He's fucking yelling and screaming. They're super bad.
It's amazing with Joey and his cats, because it's like Pied Piper, and it's something crazy to watch.
Here's my Gray. Say hello to these people at home. Here's my Gray. I got these fucking momos who are going to fight right next to me. You can't see them. They're on the floor. That's how they roll, those two fucking idiots. Super Bad and Harry.
When did you start getting into cats?
When I met my wife, man. I met my wife and, you know, I didn't know about cats. I was like everybody else. I fucking hated cats as a kid, you mm-hmm. know. And then my mom died to the people I live with. I know. They had a cat named Frisky that looked like that, black and white. But Frisky was a tough motherfucker. He was missing an ear and shit. He had an eye patch. He smoked cigarettes. He was a crazy motherfucker, Frisky. Frisky, you'd wake up in the morning, there'd be a skunk in your living room, or a fucking possum, or a fucking two pigeons, or a chicken, or a kid's hand. Frisky came home with fucking something. That was my first discovery. I remember one night being on the, like, when you wake up in the morning hungover, you just stay in bed and think about your night.
Yeah.
Whose pussy you ate, who you stabbed, whose purse you robbed. I'm laying there on this couch, and I'm watching him meowing at me. Like, he was meowing at me because the window was open. And okay. When I turned around, I'll never forget this, when I turned around, there was like a bluebird, whatever the fuck. I'm no bird ontologist. There was a bird with fucking wings on or whatever. And Frisky kept meowing through the window. The window was half open, like the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, man, I got up to puke or whatever it was. About an hour later, that fucking same bird was on the front doorstep, dead, decapitated.
Jesus.
Frisky was that type of cat. So I met Frisky. And then I didn't have contact with cats for close to 10 or 15 years. I had dogs. I had Hercules. I had the German, the black German dog. I had a couple of dogs. My wife took Hercules. He was my little German shepherd that was bad to the bone. My wife took that motherfucker.
Those are beautiful dogs, man.
This guy was beautiful. This guy was really beautiful. He lived through, it was tough because I was getting chased by the cops. I had Hercules since 86. And obviously, I got in trouble 88 and 91. Then we got separated. So Hercules went through all this. But Hercules is very good. I don't have any pictures of him. He's a beautiful German shepherd. Then when I met Terry in 90 fucking, in 2000, she had Finny.
Okay. Oh, wow, yeah.
She had Skinny Finny already. Skinny Finny was a year-old kitten. And you know what? I liked him. At first, it was hard. We used to have wars because it was like that was his mother. It was like a stepfather moving into a fucking house.
Really?
Yeah, it was hard. He used to bite me and he didn't like, but I always played with him.
Oh, okay.
And now, you know, I look at Finny and it's like he's the longest male that I've had around me as a kid or whatever, a pet. So in reference, he's my child. He's my boy.
That's crazy.
He's been around me for 13 years. I've woken up with Finny every day. When I met them, he was just a little fucking kid. And it's weird because cats are weird. And listen, man, animals are weird. I mean, some people don't like fucking snakes. I dig it. Some people don't like parrots. I dig it. You know, it's whatever you fucking like. But you know what? I like every animal. I mean, I would feel uneasy with a snake in my house. Maybe, maybe not. You know, I'd feel bad for my wife or the kid or whatever the fuck. But I like animals. So no animal. I'll find the beauty in a fucking animal.
Absolutely.
I'll find the beauty in an animal. That's no biggie to me, And these cats, I'll tell you, I wouldn't know what to do about it. Somebody just sent me an email to the Beauty and the Beast page about they lost a cat, how would I handle it? And my answer was, I look at my cats every day, and I say to myself, like, I don't want to outlive them, because the pain's going to be too much.
Yeah.
When I lose Superbad or Finny or Harry or Demi, I mean, I don't know what my world is going to be like because I get so much laughter and satisfaction from them.
Yeah.
But I'd do that if I had a dog, a chihuahua, a pit bull. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody came to me and said, dog, I got to get rid of this dog, I would probably take him. I don't care what. He's an animal. He's a human being to me. I don't know. I feel weird about animals.
Yeah.
But I don't know what my day would be like without these cats. I'm telling you this as reality. As honest as I can be, I don't know what my day would be like because they take half the pressure off my day. And people who are animal lovers know, or animal owners know, that you could be in the worst mood of your life. You could walk in and the dog wants to go out and he keeps bringing in the leash and just about you're about to stab him. You look at his beautiful eyes and you go, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, if this was a human, I'd probably stab him. But this dog, this cat, they don't want nothing from me. They don't want money. They don't want me to go on a date. There's no bad intentions. All they want from you is love, you to feed them and take them out or walk them. You know, I can be honest with the general public here. My whole fucking day is revolved around these animals because I want to come home every hour. No matter what I'm doing, I want to be around every 2-3 hours just to check in, say good morning, feed them, give them a treat. They're part of my fucking day.
Yeah.
For me to just leave for 10 hours and my wife will leave for 10 hours. So when I go on the road, yeah, I miss my wife. But I'm concerned about them. What if there's an earthquake? They're not gonna know what to do. They look at me for fucking help and advice. These dumb fucking animals.
Didn't your wife go home to visit family or something, and you stayed home?
Yeah, I won't go. We won't go on vacation, because that's a commitment I made when I adopted these animals. Yeah, I'm gonna have to now with the baby. We've left for 3 or 2 days, and gone to Tennessee together. Or I'll go do comedy, or she'll come with me to go do comedy for a few days. But we've never really left for 7 or 8 days because I worry. I can't put them on somebody else.
Yeah, now, can cats... Because I had a dog back home, and you can bring them to a kennel when you go on vacation. Do cats do that?
Yeah, you can bring them to... They have tons of places. Okay. You know, but cats... The reason why I get along with cats so much is because they're only fucking childs like me. You got to consider that. They want to be alone. These cats sleep 16 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
They're only awake 8 hours a day, these motherfuckers. But they can just fall asleep in and out quicker than fucking we can. So what they do is they take little power naps when we're not around. But when I'm home, as soon as I'm home, I just got to mess around with them. Who's owned by you? Nobody?
It's Gray.
With just Gray? Yeah, they're over there torturing Terry right now. They're trying to get Terry. What time is it?
It is 6:45 a.m.
Yeah, they're trying to get Terry up. But I'm back to the hotel. I got to go get something to drink. I'll be right back. Don't go nowhere. Welcome to the church of what's happening now.
I'll play something from Aerosmith.
Holy smoke, number one has gone down. I just gotta get a sip of something. I'll be back, bitches.
Leon, if you want, for a couple minutes when Joey's taking a drink, if you guys have questions for me, I'll answer them.
What's going on?
Oh, they asked me to answer questions, so when you were gone, I was going to answer some questions.
Don't be answering no questions. Minnie Finney here for you motherfuckers. The Man of Steel. This is my oldest son right here, Minnie Finney. He's 13. He's a good fucking man. This guy's solid. Right, Daddy? Look at him. He opens up his legs. He's my boy.
When we first started hanging out and doing the Mad Flavors World, you could make him meow. And you can see it in the first couple videos with him. The camera's jumping all over the place. It was the most hysterical thing in the world.
Get it together. Cats like that. Get it together, cocksucker. Get it together. I know. He's my boy. He's a tough guy. He wants to... He just hit me with a shot of bad breath in the fucking ear. Get it together, cocksucker. He's my little boy. This guy digs me and I dig him. You give me a kiss, cocksucker? Huh? Huh? Don't make me go. That's Skinny Finny from the brain. You know Skinny, you know. Look at him. He thinks he's fucking big. Who you think you fucking dealing with? Huh? Who you dealing with? Hey, mamma mia, sweet tuna. Say hello to these people. Let me kiss.
He's unhappy.
How about I give you a fuck? Oh, now he wants to be my friend.
Oh, the catnip, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
One of the weirdest things, you got me high one day over here, and you had to walk outside for a second, and Fidel had me cornered on the couch. And he just meows at you and stares you in the eyes. And it petrified me. He was chasing. I was running around the coffee table because I was scared he was going to attack me. But he was just saying hi.
Yeah. See, but you got to deal with this fucking... This is all day. Don't be licking this bitch. Look at him. Eating up that catnip. Getting ready to get high with his Uncle Joey. Look at him. Look at that. That's the real deal right there. See? And these are buds of catnip. I ain't messing around. Don't be calling the cops on me saying Joey's giving it... This is catnip. This is some of the best shit if you got a cat. Look at him. He's going fucking crazy. Catnip Buds by Pet Greens. Get it together, cocksucker. Get it together. Don't you talk back to me, Marine. Let me kiss. All right, get out of here. And don't come back, cocksucker. See what I got to deal with?
That's crazy.
Anyway.
You want to answer an email, man?
Sure, let's answer a fucking email. Which one you got for your Uncle Joey?
All right. We got it from TJ. Yesterday, let me open it up. Oh, we got a bunch while we've been on here. TJ has a question for you, Joe.
He says, hit me, brother. Come on, TJ.
Joey, can you please talk about why you think unemployment rate in New Jersey is so low? I've been out of a job for 4 to 5 years now, and I can't do shit except try to get involved with in what interests me. I'm at the end of
my... He's getting involved with who?
With what interests him. He got a felony when he was 20, and with all the red tape, for 4 or 5 years, he hasn't been able to get a job. He says, I'm not a bad guy, and I'm a good worker, but this red flag shit is driving me up a wall. Do you have anything to say to encourage me?
Listen, things are fucking bad all over, okay? Things are bad all over, and I agree with you. First off, get the felony off your fucking thing. Stop with the felony. There's no felony. Once you walk out of prison or once you walk out of that courtroom, there ain't no fucking felonies. It's over. They don't need to know. They're on a need-to-know basis. If they fucking find out, then they find out. Who gives a fuck? But you got to go for broke. As soon as I walked out of that prison, I don't know what felony they were talking about. I don't give a fuck. Until recently, I wasn't going to work with kids. I'm going to take an assistant coaching basketball job with kids. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, the YMCA. Tell me that's amazing.
Because I wouldn't do it because I was scared that they're going to find out. First off, I'm a different person was when I had them. The only felonies I have on there is kidnapping,
the only
aggravated
one.
Robbery. I got an assault up in Seattle, shit like that. But there's no fingering little kids in the ass or taking a pull in a Sandusky or none of that shit. Not to mention when all that shit went down, you know, I was a different fucking man. So you're a different man now from whatever felony or whatever probation you got. So get that right off the board. You don't have you paid your due to society, now you move the fuck on. You've been unemployed how long?
4 or 5 years.
Well, we got to get it together. It's time to kick it up a little bit. Obviously, you're not trying hard enough. A year ago, I got an email from a fucking little Jew kid asking me if he wanted to do videos. And a year later, we're doing a fucking podcast together. We've done 2 testicle testaments, and we lost 2 or 3 of them. We've done a CD. We've done a documentary. We've done videos. We opened up a new chapter of work for ourselves.
Yeah.
I know that you want to... There's no work, so you might as well do what the fuck you want to do now. If you had started collecting cans a year ago, right now, you would have had a huge can collecting company. So the quicker you start something... That's what this is all about, this economy. This economy isn't about, well, I'm going to sit around and find a job. No, no. They're doing you a favor, this economy, because they're making you do what you really fucking like. Now you could do what you really like. You got nothing to lose. You're not working. So you're not making money. So you might as well do what the fuck you want to fucking do, whether it's stand up, whether you want to fucking, you know, I have a friend that's unemployed, and I keep telling him that, listen, man, I was out there for years, so you can't bullshit a bullshitter. There's a job up here where people sell warranties on the phone. This is an actor community here. This is actors and agents. And so not everybody could work a fucking full day. People go to auditions. So they have all these jobs out here. I did this dumb movie. And I did I played the cameraman.
Yeah.
And the producer on that has a great story. One of the best stories I've ever heard. He was 49 years old. And he was addicted to crack and coke. And he came out of a rehab at 40 fucking 9. 49's an age. 49's how old I am. 49's an age where you look at yourself and you look at what you got left. You're like, fuck it, the average age of a man is 74 years old.
Yeah.
I basically got 15 years. What is it that I really want to do? So this guy started selling tape on the phone from a rehab with no teeth in his mouth. He couldn't take a job that you kind of see him.
Yeah.
Because he had no teeth from the crack. So he had to get a fucking job that you couldn't see him. So he started telemarketing. For starters, he started a whole new career at 49.
Yeah.
He was something else. He was an ass juggler or whatever the fuck he was doing. And now he went in and he worked for a company. After 2 or 3 years, he said that he took a bus. He lived downtown in a shelter, but he had to take a bus to Pasadena every day.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. So he watched the Disney Center or something get built. That's how long he was on a bus for, until he put away money to buy a car. And then after that, he decided that he had learned to sell tape. So he moved into his girlfriend's garage.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he started his company in the fucking garage, and he goes, at that time he was making so much money, it wasn't even about putting the money away, it was where to stock the tape, that UPS couldn't come to his house that much.
Wow.
But it was killing the trees on the block, it was destroying, and he had no credit, so he had to put away $100,000 for a security deposit for a warehouse, because he had no fucking credit, this guy. Listen to me, $100,000.
And it was a while ago.
So he was getting $10 an hour. So he said for months he only ate potato chips and something else and fucking put away money until he bought that
warehouse.
Warehouse in Glendale, until he got a down payment on it. Hence, 12 years fucking later, at 62 years old or 13 or 14 years old, he gets $8 million from 3M because he becomes one of the tape guys. So he signed an agreement where he couldn't open up, he couldn't go to work again for a tape company. He had to wait 5 years or something.
Okay.
So he recently opened up a tape place in Van Nuys. If you're looking for work, he's told me 1,000 times, you go in there at 7 in the morning, from 7 to 1, and then from 1:30 to 7,
mm-hmm.
this guy's making $800-900 working part-time, selling fucking tape on the phone.
Wow.
Yesterday, I'm at Marie E.T. waiting for you to show up. Remember mm-hmm. yesterday or the day before? Yeah. Was it yesterday?
We met yesterday, yeah.
But I got there late yesterday. No, I got there late. It was the day before. I had to meet somebody. I was there writing, and some kid came, and I asked him, I go, what do you do for a living? He goes, you know, for a long time, I was here for 6 months. I couldn't find a job in production. So he goes, I'm selling warranties on the phone. I was happy to talk to him. How long have you been there? He goes, about 9 months. I go, you like it? He goes, dog, I'm making fucking bank there. I go, did you ever do it before? He's a young kid. And I go, what shift do you work? And he goes, I work from 12. There's a different company up in Van. All these telemarketing companies are in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have tons of them up there that you go in at 7 in the morning. You go in right now and be out by 1 and make $600-700 and have your whole fucking day ahead of you. What the fuck is going on over there? Is that you?
No, that's one of the cats.
Which one?
That's Gray. She's hiding.
Wait till she fucking gets electrocuted. You're like, and all of a sudden you see a cat go up in the air. Wow! And that's the end of that shit. Stop fucking around back there, Gray. But if you really want a fucking job, they're out there, guys. I know what they tell you, 8.4 unemployment, 8.7. And that I understand. And that's for people who are engineers, who are skilled workers, or skilled labor, or whatever. Listen, there's jobs out there. Go be a fucking Mexican for a week. I'm sure when they jump a fence and come from Mexico, they find a fucking job or they go down to Home Depot. If you really want to work in this country, there's fucking work, guy.
No, yeah.
I don't give a fuck what anybody says, and I'm not insulting you in Jersey, especially in Jersey. You could pay somebody to get you a fucking job. So, you know what? You're talking to the wrong fucking guy. There's work out there. You just got to become a Mexican, go out there and find it, get up at 7, you know, brush your teeth, shine your fucking shoes. There's a lot of people go looking for jobs at 11 o'clock or 12 in the morning. I never understood that. You gotta get the fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta get the fuck up and comb your hair and put on a shirt. And you know what, man? I've slept in fucking cars. The guy I sent the email to, I got an email from a guy yesterday. This is the last 2 years he's been emailing. He's in a bad position. He's in Florida. He's living in his van. Well, so did all of us. You got to get up and you got to justify your fucking existence. You got to get up, smoke a half a joint, and figure out your plan. What is your plan? I'm going to live in the van for 3 months. Ooh, there's the first fart of the morning. I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm creating a system from the podcast that you can actually smell these motherfuckers. It'll come up over your speaker like YouPorn. You know what I'm saying? Like a YouPorn has that. You press a button, you can smell the pussy and the lady's feet. It's fucking tremendous. Anyway, Lee, when is this podcast going to be up?
The video is up. I submitted the last one to iTunes, so I'm hoping by the next one we do, that'll be up. But if you want, you can go to our RSS feed, which I know everyone from Death Squad is going to find hilarious. But if you go to, let me find the exact website for you right now, but it's on Libsyn, and we have a website we can download them, but I'm assuming if you listen to this one, you're going to be listening to the last one. Let me find the website, Joey, really quick.
What page are you looking for, Cocklucker? Everybody's sleeping on Twitter this morning. What's going on?
Everyone has the day off. They're sleeping.
Yeah, everybody's fucking sleeping hard. I don't mind. I love it. I love that you motherfuckers sleep. I'd be up early getting out there and shit. We got to get over to Denny's before the church crowd, the fucking satanic shirt. Don't they go to church on Mondays, the Satan people?
I don't know when they go to church, man. That sounds creepy. So, yeah, if you want to if you want to download the audio before it gets up on iTunes, or you have Droid or a weird MP3 player, if you go to the Church of What's Happening Now .libsyn.com, then you can go and download the straight audio. And yesterday's is up, and today's will be up later today. But hopefully it'll be up on iTunes, and then eventually Stitcher in like the next couple days.
And I want to thank everybody who fucking supported me on Testicle Testaments 2 this last week, and Testicle Testament 1, and the CD and the documentary on fucking Amazon. I mean, we've done this together, but you guys are the real fucking test. Call the number, Lubes. I'm going to have my buddy Jimmy Lubes call in, so call that number I gave you, right? Right now.
Bye. Joe, people are asking if you're ever going to do gigs in Europe.
And who what?
People want to know if you're ever going to come to
Europe. And who what?
Sorry.
Yo. Yeah, you. What was your question? No, just call that fucking number.
He doesn't have a passport, so probably not.
All right, bye. What? No, I can't do fucking gigs in Europe until I get my passport. You guys know that. I got no fucking passport. How am I going to do a gig? How am I going to get on a plane? What do you want me to do? Sit in the fucking tanker in the back with three Chinese people and go the other way? Stop it. That's too much fucking action. I'll be there, though. I'm going to come to the UK. I'm going to come to fucking Ireland. I'm going to Melbourne, Australia. I'm going to Sydney. I got a couple spots. I got some people I got to fucking visit. You know who the fuck you are. I got some freaks in Hong Kong that want to sit in the living room getting it on, and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you want to do? Where's this motherfucker? He's supposed to call up?
I don't know. We're waiting.
I love this vaporizer. People ask me all the time, Joey, what vaporizer is it? It's called Eureka Vapor. The reason why I went back to the vapor, for 8 days I didn't smoke reefer, because I spoke to a referee, a friend of mine, and he was telling me that ever since he stopped smoking, his lung capacity got better and stuff. So I wanted to give it a shot. So I didn't smoke. I was smoking just this vapor. This Eureka Vapor is the shit. You take it in every week. They install new oil in it. See, you turn it off. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Beep, beep, beep. And you can turn it off like this. And then it breaks away from the compartment. They fill this up. And every week you go in there. I think it's $40. And they fill it up with an eighth of fucking weed or something. Something just ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That's my man right there.
There he is.
Jimmy Lubes.
What's up? Stuttering Lubes calling here.
What's going on, buddy? How are you, my friend?
No, good.
Jimmy Lubes is a documentary. Jimmy Lubes is one of my childhood brothers. I love this guy. You know, I was thinking about Lubes the other day in 83 when I left a half ounce at your house, and you went into the city, and I went and woke your mother up and took it out of the jacket and shit. Could you imagine the next day you get home? Can you imagine the next day you get home and your mother's like, your friend was here at 4 in the morning. He wanted something out of the jacket. What's up, buddy? You're off tonight? No school?
Yeah, I'm off from school. Studied all weekend.
What'd you study? What are you studying?
I was thinking about with this long weekend of time me, you and Sticky went down the shore.
Yeah.
In the Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
And we stood the weekend inside the room. And, that's the time we robbed the gas station.
Yeah, we robbed the gas station, and we went down there in the fucking Volkswagen that you couldn't. It didn't go in reverse, so you had to take your feet out of something and push it into fucking reverse. We went down the shore. We sat in the hotel room. We snorted like an 8-ball. But that's the weekend we bumped into Rago down there, and the Black Maid. The Rago was down there doing coke with us. I think it was either Rago or Conti, Stinky, and
Conti. He didn't say a word the whole weekend.
The whole weekend, this guy would not say a fucking word. He'd just look around. He'd seen a Black Maid. He remember there was a Black Maid or something, and she knocked on the door with toilet paper. Stinky almost had a fucking heart attack.
Oh, is that the one who was in the car?
Yeah, he's like, there's a fucking Black Maid at the door. I don't know what she wants. What's up, Luby? What are you going to do today on Labor Day?
Nothing. I was studying this weekend.
That's it? You're not going out tonight or nothing like that?
I'm playing Linux and what's that? No, good boy. No more work. I'm being good now. You know?
What do you mean you're being good?
I think she closed up shop, you know.
Who closed up shop?
Yeah.
You did?
Me.
It's over?
Yeah, basically. Just a couple of, you know, select customers, you know.
I hear you. You got to do what you got to do.
I just want to make my, you know, $300 a week in that, you know, just for gas money, for cigarettes, and for toll money, you know. That's it.
That's it. Just keep it low. Kidding. Fuck it. I ain't mad at
you. Like, yeah,
we can't sling forever, Jimmy.
I'm finally off. I told you, I'm off probation now.
Right? You're off probation, all right. So did you see Steve?
I'm done. I'm finished in that. I went to she violated me again, right? For missing classes and that, some time going there. But what happened was, Stevie Runny was working inside the probation office. So as soon as my probation officer left for lunch, he would call me. I'd be in school. I would run over, go upstairs. She wasn't there. I would sign in and I'd leave in that. so she goes. I haven't seen you in like 2 months. In that, I said, well, I'm there every, you know, I have lunch from school. I go upstairs. You're never there. I said, I basically signed in, and then I said, I basically know D cop too. He seen me. So then she violated me. I went in front of the judge. I said, listen, judge. I said, I've been coming every week. She give me a hassle. I said, I've been doing this for 8 years now. He goes, 8 years. He goes, forget it. You're done. So he just terminated me.
You were on probation for 8 years.
Your probation's over.
You're a fucking savage. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man. We're going to get going.
What?
We're
going
to send you a fucking plane ticket. Now you're going to leave the state. You're going to come out to California and hang with us on your next break, bro. I love
it. I might. Once I finish school, I might come out that way and just look for jobs there. Who knows, man?
You never fucking
know.
We need fucking workers here, brother. Jimmy Lewis, I've been friends with you since 1979. I love you, man. You're the last of the Mohicans. 79 was the first time we played hooky. We robbed that beer thing. We went over to your house with the Irish. What were we drinking?
I remember taking tests in that, and you guys changing my answers in that. I said, pass up my test saying this is an easy 100, and I get it back. And I get a 20 in that because Coco was fucking scratched out all my answers.
I would say, because you have to pass the paperwork up to the front. So. But this kid's the last of the real fucking Mohicans.
And
Jimmy,
I wound up,
what happened?
Yeah.
What were you saying?
And I wound up being, getting pushed back into all like the easier classes with you guys in there.
That's right. But you ended up going to MIT. You're a smart motherfucker. You're a bad dude, dog.
Yeah.
They don't even make them like you no more. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. And JIT graduate.
Don't forget about me. I'll give you a call during the week, Jimmy Lewis. Next week we'll talk too.
You got it, buddy.
Every week you're gonna call, and I love you, buddy. Have a good week. Kiss your mom and dad. What are they making today? What are they cooking today?
I'm gonna have to get some adventures for you then.
Some what?
Some during the week.
Okay.
I can give you stories about my dad. That's unbelievable. He's getting worse and worse.
Oh please! How old is he now?
Oh, 86.
And you still take him to the track every day?
86. Yep. He's got one more good fight left in him, he said. He's got one more good fight. I'm saving it. So be careful. One more good when he goes.
What's your mom cooking today? Anything good?
Today? Today's, today's Monday. Yesterday she made homemade raviolis and that. My brother and his son came down.
Oh, that's fucking nice. And your mom's one of the best there is. One of the best there is at fucking cooking, dog.
Nice.
From the chicken
homemade
cutlets,
homemade
everything.
Meatballs,
Parmesan,
the garlic
meatballs.
Bread. Nice.
Ooh.
Made a salad. I said, who wants a salad when they have raviolis, man? Sausage. And a goddamn Blenty bread. The hot Blenty bread yesterday. Nice.
Oh, now you allowed to smoke reefer again?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I never stopped, though. I only had that for like 3 years. They kept on violating me. They kept on saying, you failed casting that. Come back. So it took me like eight years to do like a 3-year stint in that.
Fuck.
I just should fuck. All right.
I love you, buddy. Have a good week.
All right.
Bye-bye. Stay black. Let me explain something to you people, for you people at home. When I started hanging with this kid in 79, like a month before my mother died. We robbed a beer truck.
Yeah. Now explain that, because people don't know what you mean by that.
We didn't rob, hijack a beer truck. We in the old days, people would pull up with a beer truck, go into a liquor store by themselves. We'd watch you, and then we'd follow you for a couple blocks. And when you unloaded like a lot of cases of beer, we'd go to one side, open up the latch, take a case of beer, put it in the fucking car, and take off. You know, when you're 16, 15. Or we'd take it and run. And if you chased us, then we'd rob the whole fucking truck.
Yeah.
So you had an option. So most guys just let us rob a fucking a beer truck. Just would let us steal a case. So me and this kid robbed a case of beer like October or September of 79. And we got anisette and vodka. And we shaved ice.
Okay.
And we put it in a rock glass. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. And we went out. I had stolen cocaine from downstairs in the basement that my mother was hiding for somebody, like a couple
Jesus.
Of pounds. I was a sophomore in high school. And I took the bottom out. And I went to his house, and we drank the beer. It was quartz.
Okay.
So when you steal a case of quartz, they're warm, so you're fucked. They take a longer while to chill. So we put them in the bathtub. But we had a little bit of money, and we got the vodka. And this is 79. We're sophomores in high school. We mixed the vodka and the peppermint schnapps together, and then we sprinkled the Coke on top. We put it in the freezer.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know what we were doing. We were just stupid kids, but it was weird because there was a gang of kids called the Little Boys. There were the boys and the Little Boys, and the Little Boys didn't fucking like me because I was a druggie. I was kind of crazy. But Lubes was part of the Little Boys, and he always hung out with me. He didn't give a fuck what they said. Even though his brother was in that gang and all that, Lubes mm-hmm. still hung out with me. So what happened was I was put into the Little Boys, and then I had a party at my house, and I invited people from outside circles, and the Little Boys got mad at me.
Okay.
And I'm like, fuck you guys. I can't bring my friend. Get the fuck out of here. I just got to be with 16 guys, and they wanted girls, and they sang in a corner, and they all hugged each other at the end of the night. I want to get my dick sucked. I don't want no guys fucking hugging me.
Yeah.
But out of that crew, Lubes is the only one that always hung out with me. So it was weird. We graduated high school. We both got into crime, even though he's a genius and he went to, like, MIT. You know, he was working at a gas station, Hess as a manager. But all those binds I got into from 81 to 85, I talk about, and 87, and when I went back in 94, all I got to do is call this kid, and it's over.
Yeah, like, you said you call him any time of night.
Any time, any day, you know. He's my right hand for years. He was my little brother. And till this day, he's a tough kid. He doesn't get along with a lot of people. I still back him 150%. I'm friends with everybody, but I back him 150% because I can't start to tell you. I mean, I could tell you stories of me going to New York and it being cold out. I got to do a set in the city. And I'm still strung out on coke. Like, I want to get coke that night. And he would fucking pull over with his car, give me a ride into the city, give me $20, give me a rock of coke, and give me a couple of Valiums. That's not a friend. I don't know what the fuck is it, you know? So, it's just amazing how lucky I am to talk to somebody that I grew up with. And I don't just have him. I have 10 other guys that I still communicate with on a daily basis. We're going to talk to Roger. We're going to talk to Avillo on the show. These are guys who made me who I am. Like, I can't move forward unless I talk with them. You know, this last week we did a testicle testament about making people proud of you.
Yeah.
People that you fucked over proud of you, you know. It's such a great feeling. You can't give them money. There's nothing you could give them. But to make somebody proud of you after they wrote you off is a very big fucking gift in life, you know. So
it's amazing.
That's all I want to do with these people is keep in mind that, listen, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to be happy. That's all the church of what's happening now is about, is being happy and getting you motherfuckers off on your day, because that's what it's all about. It's what happens in that first hour of your day that gets the rest of the fucking day going. If you have a shitty first hour in your day,
oh, yeah.
You're going to have a shitty fucking whole day. I don't want that to happen. That's what I'm here for, to avoid that. We got the music, we got the reefer, we got the conversation, we got Leland, we got the fucking cats. And that's it. It's Labor Day. What are you going to do the rest of the day, Lee?
The rest of the day, man, I'm going to sleep, and then one of my friends is going to have a barbecue over in Culver City. I'm going to go there.
You're going to go there and have a good time, okay. I'm not going to do dick. This is it. I'm going to take my wife for a nice long walk in the park to get her moving today. We're not going to do nothing. My wife did enough yesterday. When you're fucking pregnant, man, things change like this. I mean, I look at her eyes, and my wife's got beautiful blue light eyes. So sometimes you look at it and you're like, oh, that bitch is doing heroin because their eyes get big. No, my wife would never even look at a heroin capsule. This is just that she gets tired. And since she's been pregnant, we could be doing something 1 second, and the next fucking second, those eyes get pinned on her, and you got to take her home. I got to bring her home, man.
Yeah.
It's tough on her.
It must be crazy, man.
And today I got a spot at the Laugh Factory tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got a spot at like 8:30. So if you want to meet me down after the barbecue, yeah, it's going to be quick, you know. Next week I'm in Minneapolis at Rick Bronson's House of Fucking Comedy from Thursday to Sunday. For a lot of people that don't know, call tomorrow. I don't even know what the fucking number is.
I'll get it for you, buddy.
The number got taken down. I had it over here. I don't know what happened to it.
This is history right here. Well, Joey Diaz does another phone number off the top.
Yeah, I didn't know it. I usually haven't prepared and stuff. So next week I'm also on the 20th and 21st. We're doing two clubs. We're doing me and Duncan Chaucer. Are doing
that's a great show.
I'm doing Milwaukee, and we're doing Madison with motherfucking Conson.
All right, for everyone in Minnesota, the phone number is 952-858-8558, and if you go to houseofcomedy.net, you can get the tickets. So that, and then you're in Wisconsin, and then you go to Baltimore, right?
Then I go to What days? What were you saying just now? I'm sorry.
After with Duncan, you go to Baltimore.
No, yeah, after Duncan, I go to Baltimore, to Baltimore's Comedy Factory. That's the 27th through the fucking 29th. And that'll be great, too. Let me just give you the exact dates, because I get confused, Lee. You confuse me. That's why I love you. That's the Jew in you. You fucking confuse me. And for all the Jews out there, the real motherfucking Jews out there, good morning, you bad motherfuckers. That's why I love you. Where's my beautiful wife? We're going for breakfast. What are we doing? All right, September 13th to the 16th, you got Rick Bronson in Minnesota House of Comedy, 952-858-8558. September 20th, we're in Madison, Wisconsin with my man Duncan. Tickets are on Brown Paper Tickets. It's a Callahan Sports Pub. My career is on a fucking upswing. And then in Milwaukee, I'll be performing at a place called Bub's Irish Pub in Germantown. Tickets are $20 for me and Duncan. That's a fucking steal. We're doing one show and I don't want to hear no fucking drama. And then the week of September 27th to the 29th, we're at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Lee, you got to come on one of these gigs with me. I'd want love people to get to fucking know you.
I'd love to. People are asking you to go to Boston, and when you go to Boston, there's no way I'm not coming.
All right, we're going to Boston. I want to give a shout out to my girl Taylor Marie in Puerto Rico, en Dishongo, te mama, you know what I'm saying? And to all the motherfucking savages I have on Twitter, let me tell you something, I love you motherfuckers. Twitter, Facebook, my day wouldn't be complete without you. From Whiskey Jack to fucking Monkey Todd to Ali Baz to fucking Leash to Luke and the DD. I mean, you guys have really taught me a different way to live, man, because I was a little fucking bored and lonely. I was just about to break the law like Judas Priest in 82. And then I bump into you motherfuckers. So what's up? We're here. We're done for the weekly. We're done till Wednesday. What do you want to do?
Yeah, we'll do it Wednesday. And speaking of Facebook, again, we have a new Facebook page.
That's
up,
right.
Facebook.com/the Church of What's Happening Now. And we're going to post. I posted like an event when we're going to go on the next day. And just go on there, man. Ask us questions. We'll read more emails. Just...
We want you involved. We want to be involved. We want you to wake up with us every fucking morning. Let us know what the fuck we got to do. We got to play more music. Then we'll decide. You want more news? You know what? You can get news for fucking free. If I'm going to sit here and tell you about the shooting at Pathmark in New Jersey, it's sad. I don't want to open up your day with that. I want to open up your day. You ever sit in front of the fucking TV in the morning and they talk about a kid that got fucked in the ass in the sixth grade and the three people who died in a car accident who got hit by a DUI? I don't want that going into your head in the depressing. Fucking
head. I was trying to look at stories to see if there's something I wanted to bring up. And CNN, the videos I watched were kids getting bullied, a guy in the army getting hazed, and then what's going on in Iran. And it's just depressing.
I don't want to do that to you people. I want to give you more than that. I want to wake up in the morning in a good mood. I want you to smoke a fucking number or not smoke a fucking number. I want you to eat your oatmeal. I want you to get an apple inside you to get the day going. I want you to take a walk. I just want you to live. That's what the Church of What's Happening Now is about, bitches.
And you wanted to watch a movie, right? A Bruce Lee movie?
Don't forget about the Chinese Connection. I'm going to be checking emails and see what you motherfuckers think. Watch Bruce Lee's performance. Not only does he kill people in that movie, he fucking hangs them afterward. That's Clint Eastwood dirty type shit from the fucking early 60s. Giovanni Ribisi shit. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about.
It's kicking
in, man. Man, I'm happy you guys tuned in. Thank you very much. Thank you to fucking Stick In for giving us a show. Go to JoeyCocoDiaz.net and get t-shirts and whatever you fucking need.
Yeah, so Jordan, if you're up, or I don't know, he was wearing one of the Stay Black with Fidel on the front. It's a nice shirt, man.
That's a nice shirt. Yeah, that's one of Ari's, because that's from the Ari Shafir collection.
No. It's on your website.
Is it on my website, that one?
Yeah, that's, I mean, the one? It's not from the tour you guys did in Buffalo. It's the same picture, but it says Ad Mad Flavor on the bottom.
Okay, all right, I didn't see that one. That's one of the fucking JR making shirts, that black dude up in fucking Rochester. I love you, cocksucker.
Yeah, I can't wait till we start selling the yarmulkes. That's going to be
the yarmulkes are going to be good. They're going to say, fuck you, pay me. That's the way. That's what's in a real fucking Jew's mind all day. Lee, you know I love you. One of my favorite Jews behind Ari. And what's the mafia Jew I like?
I don't know.
The guy, the main mafia guy of all time.
I didn't know there were Jews in the mafia, man.
Fuck it, the main guy is fucking Jewish. Nobody knows that shit. See,
no.
By the way, go to your library and get this book. This was given to me by Felipe Esparza. This book is like $300 online, but you can go to most libraries and read it there. They want you to take it out. It's called The Pleasant Avenue Connection. When it explains when the Jews ran thing, selling heroin in the 60s in New York. So this is how deep my Jimmy goes. I just don't talk shit. I do the fucking work. You know what I'm saying? Stay Black. Have a great Labor Day with your family. Fucking God bless you, motherfuckers. Have a great barbecue. Powder your balls. Go out there and do what the fuck you want to do today. Stay black. I love you, motherfuckers.
That's awesome. For people asking, my Twitter is LeeSyatt. Enjoy. We're gonna leave them with. We're gonna leave them with some "Sick as a Dog" from the Aerosmith Rocks. All right.